We're on a part two about Lazarus. Last week was about Lazarus. It's on our website, which is gracechristiancenter.us. And thank you to Vern and Dan. The videos of the messages are now on YouTube, and Dan has connected them on our website as well. And so if you have a friend somewhere that, or you weren't able to make it to service, or you have a friend somewhere that you would like for them to see that message, the Lord speaks to us through as many avenues, and the eye gate is vital. And so it's a way to be able to impart that message. And so it's there. But last week was Lazarus part one. And we identified it as a subtitle, The Anatomy of a Miracle. The Anatomy of a Miracle. And you could subtitle that again, but this morning I want to talk about Lazarus part two, When Faith Gets Real. Say that with me.
When faith gets real.
We're going to have another part or two on this series before we complete it, but the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead is one of the most astounding, incredible miracles in the entire ministry of Jesus. Jesus is about a day's journey from Bethany, from Bethania in the Greek, and it's probable that he's about 25 miles from Jerusalem and from Bethany. Actually, Bethany is 2 miles from Jerusalem. That's why it was close enough for all of Mary and Martha's friends to be there in the house comforting her in mourning when Lazarus had passed. But Jesus was about 25 miles away, and is what most will agree or consider. And so when the word came that the one you loved is sick, and Jesus decides to wait how many more days?
2 more days.
And then he comes back. By the time he gets back, they say he's been dead and buried 4 days. So it's probably a day to where he was, a day back from where he was, and 2 days waiting. And it's probable that Lazarus, had died even before Jesus got the news. Jesus says, you know, he's sleeping. And his disciples say, well, then he's doing good. He's getting some rest. And he just gives them the bottom line. He says, no. He says, the point is he's died. But this is not a death that's going to remain. This is going to happen for the glory of God. You're going to see the Lord do something remarkable. And Jesus then says, it's time for us to go back to Jerusalem. Can you imagine the agitation that his disciples were feeling? Every time he turned around, somebody's beefing with Jesus. Somebody's picking apart what he says. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, we don't like what you have to say, Jesus. And so they're picking it apart, and they're trying to accuse him. And every time he turns around, and they know that the leaders of their country want Jesus dead. So Jesus says, okay, time to go back. And remember what they said? You kidding me? Who's kidding who here? Don't you know they want you dead? Now, let me ask you, just being honest, and I'm not being critical, I'm just going to be honest. Do you think their concern was for Jesus?
No, sort of.
Sort of. But what do you think it would mean if they're going to kill Jesus back in Jerusalem when he goes? As goes the teacher, so goes the student. So goes the pupil, so goes the disciple. That's what the Bible teaches us. But we have Thomas, we associate Thomas with being a total doubter. And yet in this case, he sounds a little like Eeyore from the Disney movies when he does it. Let's go back and die with him. But at least he said, let's go back with him. And he takes the leadership and he says, we're going back with Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to get. I'm going to teach you some real simple principles this morning, but if you'll get them, it will change your life. I mean that. I don't mean that by hyperbole. I wanted you to get some really important, essential principles for life and living and walking with the Lord this morning. For the disciples right then at that point, this had to be real for them right then. Walking back with Jesus literally is more than words on a page or a glib little statement. Walking back with Jesus meant, just like Thomas said, let's go back and die with him. Because that's what they anticipated and expected would happen. Suddenly, it comes alive. Are we really going to put ourselves in that situation? Some people hate Jesus, but Thomas speaks the word. It's amazing. Still, they fully see what's ahead of them. But this precious heart in Thomas puts him and them in a position to see who Jesus is. Now listen, it puts the disciples, because he speaks this word and they respond, it puts the disciples in a unique position, more than at any other time in the entire ministry of Jesus, to see really who he is and what he can do. The disciples are going to have a front row seat to Jesus' astounding miracle. Principle number one, we've got to move from what to who. Say it with me, please. From what to who. Constantly, he works with the disciples as you think of your scriptures, and he moves them, and he tests or allows tests to come to move them from what to who. Jesus works with them in daily situations where the what is bigger than their ability to handle it. Let that sink in. The what of life is many times just beyond our ability to handle it. Come on. Haven't got the money, haven't got the resources, haven't got the time, haven't got the patience, haven't got the ability, don't understand what's next, family's not coming through the way I needed to, my friends aren't always there, the county's requiring this of me now, I don't know, it's just beyond what I get. What's up with that, Lord? And that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where we live, come on, every single day. Aren't you happy, Kev? Yes, I am. But life is just beyond what I exactly know how to do just next. Our faith is limited by our sight. Anybody in this room ever feel like you have failing eyesight? Now, if you wear your glasses, take them off right now. Please, take all your glasses off. Now look at me. I'm a really good-looking guy. No. Okay, now put your glasses on. You go, oh. No, but you know, you get to a place in life. I got to admit, I got to a place in life where I started playing trombone. You know? Oh, let's see. This says, oh. Natural eyesight sometimes fails, and it's frustrating. And when we're limited by the what of what we see, our faith is sometimes frustrated. We're called to the opposite. 2 Corinthians says, 4 verse 18. Out of the New International Version. So we fix our eyes. What has God called us to instead? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Please say the next phrase with me. But on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God moves us from what to who? Out of the passion. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is
eternal.
Is what?
Eternal.
Eternal. We are called to live for something bigger. Come on, church, we're called to live for something bigger. We are called to live for something beyond us. We are called to live for the eternal. When you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't just say, I'm going to live my life as normal. When I die, ho-hum, going into the grave, nothing more. When you transferred the ownership of your life to Jesus, you had an immediate understanding, should I die, I'm going straight to Jesus. And my life is forever in the Lord. Thank God. Heaven is real. Hell is real. I don't want to go to hell and be separated from God for the rest of my life. I've surrendered my life to Him, and life is eternal. And when does eternal life begin? Right now. When? Someday. When I get there. No, I've transferred ownership of my life to Jesus. Sold my GMC Envoy a year ago now. I sold it. And when I sold it, tell me, what did I have to do with my title? I had to sign off on it and give it to the buyer.
That's right.
I no longer owned that car. Thank God. When I gave my life to Jesus,
yes.
I signed it over.
Yes.
And He says, Kev, I want you to walk with me. You may not always get it. I've always got you. You may not always get it. I've always got you. But I own this life now. So can you believe that I'm big enough to see you and know you? This is crucial. This is crucial to move from what to who? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. We have a building from God. A house, say it with me please, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, if you're taking notes, please write it down. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 out of the New King James. For we walk, please say it, by
faith,
not by sight. Out of the message. It is what we trust in, but don't yet see, that keeps us going. Out of the passion. For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. We live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. So God keeps working with us to move us from what to who? The storm. The storm. Mark chapter 4. 35 through 41, take down the context, read it on your own schedule. When you get home, even read about it, the storm. A storm rages, absolutely rages as they do on the Sea of Galilee. They come up in a heartbeat moment and you can be out on peaceful waters and next you're fighting 20-foot waves. It's a treacherous, horrible thing to be in. And consider the small boats they had in those days. The storm rages. They literally think they are going to die. And that fear drives them. And Jesus speaks to the storm. And it's still. In the Greek, listen to what He says to them. Why are you timid? Why are you faithless? When you read the word fear, sometimes there are different words for the word fear. In our King James, New King James, you look it up. Why are you timid and faithless? Jesus' ability to calm the storm is bigger than the storm's ability to rage. Come on. Jesus' ability to calm the storm is bigger than the storm's ability to rage. They are afraid of the what? The storm. The what? Now, hang in there with me. They're terrified. They're afraid of the what. Jesus moves us from what to who. Now, in the Greek, when you get a load of this verse, they're afraid, they're timid, they're fearful of the what? The storm. Yeah, I keep saying the what. That's the heading, and you keep thinking to answer me. So that's right. Preach it. It's the storm. Dopey Kevin, don't you get it? We keep telling you it's the storm. Okay, the storm. But listen, the Greek word changes. He says, why are you fearful and timid? Do you realize the Greek word changes literally to say, once he speaks and calms the storm, they are utterly terrified of him. And his power. And his power. They're not put off by him. I'm sure every one of them's grateful to be alive. But they're terrified by who they're with because they've just seen what he can do. And he's trying to transition them from what to who. Who they're with. Awestruck. Respect for Jesus and who he is. And all of a sudden, wait a minute. They've just had a graphic up-close lesson of the fact that Jesus is bigger than the storm. Say it with me, church. Jesus is bigger than the storm. Now, he takes an academic faith to a now faith, a present faith, a real faith. They have used a couple of different words, an acknowledged faith. Yeah, we believe you, Lord. They have, if you want to call it a passive faith. And he takes them from a passive academic faith to something now that's real, that's present. And if we're going to get through the life that he's given us to live. Every one of us in this room has a different story. He is saying, I'm going to work with you to take you beyond where you are right now, what you see. I'm taking you from the what in your life to the who. Yeah. Guys, I am crying out to God that we will get this vital, essential principle because it's the rub. It's where the rubber hits the road. It's where Jesus keeps working with us to get us beyond what we see. We are limited by sight. And he says, don't go by sight. Come to the who of life and be limited, unlimited, if you will, by your faith in him. From what? To who? If we will begin to look through those glasses, our spiritual walk will change. Second principle, from can to will. Oh, feed the thousands. I jumped ahead. My fault. I'll finish this point. The second thing, so you got him calming the storm. The second one is feed the thousands. You know what kind of a cool story that is in Mark chapter 6? Mark chapter 6. 37 through 34. They see themselves defined by what they don't have. Come on. They see themselves defined by what they don't have. Jesus says, you go feed them. They go, what? We can't feed them. We ain't got nothing. All we got is a little boy's fish. Fish and loaves. What was so cool is Joseph Prince had this whole theme in his message this morning. And I had no idea. I did this last night. Joseph confirmed me. The whole point was, it was so cool though, because one disciple saw the problem The other disciples saw their lack. And that's the point. And Jesus thanks God, breaks bread, and gives it to the disciples to give away. And in the midst of that tangible experience, they move from the what of limitation, limited supply, maximum problem, and they see who they're walking with, who breaks the bread and gives it away. From what to who? From can to will. John 11, 20 to 24. If you've got your Bibles open, we'll go there. John 11, 20 to 24. I only have one of the phrases up here, but I'm going to read it out loud. John 11, 20 to 24. Say it with me. From what to who? Say it with me. From what to who? Now say with me. From can to will. John 11, 20 to 24. Then Martha, verse 20, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, say it with me, please. Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Now, verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I am not critical of Martha whatsoever, nor of Mary. Not critical at all. She has an acknowledged faith, possibly passive, but her faith is real. Her faith is real. There is no condemnation here. Martha is a believer. She knows resurrection is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. She knows he's able. But church, hang in here. That knowledge, while great, can be academic. Well, I know he can do it. Come on, I'm a believer. I know he can do that. Come on, I'm a believer. I know he can do it. Hey, do you believe he can do it? Oh, I believe he can do it. For someone else is the part we don't finish the sentence with. Yeah. Oh, I know he can do it. He can. Oh, I know he can. But will he?
That's the question.
For me. For you. From can to will. A conviction. But does your conviction move you to real, tangible, active, present faith? Now faith? Present faith? Real faith. Say it with me. Now faith? Present faith? Real faith. What does it take to move you from you can to you will? What glasses are you wearing? Is your faith limited by your sight or lack thereof? Jesus, as we continue to look at this miracle, you guys, there's astounding things that happen in this resurrection of Lazarus. What Jesus is getting ready to do, he is getting ready to literally rock the world. What Jesus does here with Lazarus will literally rock the world with present tense active faith. Now, the thing you got to enjoy, it's either oh no or oh my or amen. The thing you got to enjoy is he rocks us out of passive faith. John 11, 25 to 27. Watch. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And I love her response. Look what she said to him. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I believe. Come on, church, say it with me. I believe you are. Present tense. From can to will. I believe you are the Christ. Here. Literally. Here. Right here is the pivot point. Martha? What do you really believe? You believe this? Jesus is our loving, sweet Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who's coming back as a mighty conquering king, and sometimes puts his friends on the spot. Martha, what do you really believe about this?
I do believe it. 100%.
There you go. But see, if we stop long enough, we go, my heart needs to shift so I can say, it's not just you're a God who can. It's not just you're a God who can do this for somebody, but you're a God who hears me. A God who's alive for me. A God who wants and who does for me. Present, real, active faith. Oh God, I not only believe you can, I believe you will. Come on. I not only believe you can, I believe you will. There's the faith, church, that shakes the world. There's the faith that changes your life and mine. From what to who? From can to will. That faith took a dozen people and changed the entire world and all of human history. That faith, now faith, real faith, present faith, taken from a group of people that saw their own lack and a big problem to a great big Jesus who's alive and well and moves today. Yeah. That faith of a dozen people changed an entire world human history. From a dozen people who believed him. I'm looking at a room more than a dozen people with a region all around us that needs to be changed, and a state and a nation and a world that desperately needs to know that God is alive and well and active here today. Our families need to know him. Our communities need to know him. Our cul-de-sacs, our cities, our nation. Amen. That's the faith that activates forgiveness. I know I'm forgiven, and by faith I receive your forgiveness, Lord. That activates grace and mercy. He speaks it and I receive it because I believe he's a now God. Not just someday, but now. If I can help you shift, even in these two ways, it will change the rest of your life in your walk with Jesus Christ. And in this spirit, he says, go, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things that I've commanded you. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Church, when Jesus changes us and our faith gets real, we are transformed to now faith. We move from what to who? And we move from can to will. And that's when we transform others. Life changers to transform others. Now, I want to ask you something. What did you sign up for? When you signed that title and handed it back to him, what did you sign up for? Several of them. I had no idea. Aren't you glad to know a little more of it?
Yes. Yeah.
And Jesus looks at you and he goes, okay, if I can get you to burn hot and it's now, it's present, it's real. If I can get you to understand, I can tell you to flame on. And the Bible, you know, the Bible says his ministers are a flame of fire. The old preacher. The old evangelist used to say, when they asked him ages ago, before all the technology, they said, how do you get such big crowds? And he goes, all I do is set myself on fire and they come and watch me burn. If God can get 12 people, a room full of people, who say, Lord, I believe you. I believe it's what you want to do. I believe you want to do it for me. I believe you want to do it now, today. I believe it. It's not just tomorrow. It's not just someday. It's not just heaven in the by and by someday. Lord, I believe you are present tense here right now to do what you want to do. Oh God, I believe you do it. In Jesus' name, do it. He'll change all of human history with you too. Are you ready? Stand with me, will you? When faith gets real, I believe that Jesus has so much he wants to do for you and for me. And today he's going to do it even further. Now maybe you're here this morning and you have a need in your heart, body, soul. You want Jesus, need Jesus to move into this now realm. And you sense you're in the storm and you need him to speak to the storm. Peace be still. I invite you to come forward as we close. We'll pray for you. If you need physical healing, we believe God's in that business. Sometimes we see instant miracles. Other times we hear the testimony over the next couple of weeks. But our God is able.
Yes.
And our God loves you so much. Can you say thank God?
Thank God?
Father, we love you and worship you today and pray that, Lord, you'll make these fundamental shifts in our own heart and mind and our own life. And as we leave this place today, Lord, we do so with the joy of your Holy Spirit leading the way. We trust you and we thank you, Lord. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please, and then we'll pray, release you to walking in fresh now faith with the Lord. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat that. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we bless your people and we send them out.
Yes.
With thanksgiving, with joy to celebrate a now faith.
Yes.
We believe you've shifted us even this morning to move us, oh God, from the what to the who to you. And from the can to the will, we know you are the God who's alive and well. You are present tense, the resurrection and the life. We love and worship you, Lord, and bless your people in this day as we leave this place with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.